be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Thomas Paine Podcast number 28 with the media's wayward son. Often leading the pack in my own world. Certainly not part of the media sheep out there. It's okay to be a wayward son, folks, out there, or a wayward daughter. There's nothing wrong with that.
Once I rose above the noise and confusion, just to get a glimpse beyond this illusion. I was soaring ever higher, but I flew too high. Though my eyes could see, I still was a blind man. Though my mind could think, I still was a madman. I hear the voices when I'm dreaming. I can hear them say.
So you got to pick out music for the show. Spent a lot of time checking out lyrics and matching things up. Once I rose above the noise and confusion, just to get a glimpse beyond the illusion. I was soaring ever higher, but I flew too high. Though my eyes could see, I still was a blind man. Though my mind could think, I still was a madman. Masquerading as a man with a reason, my charade is the event of the season. And if I claim to be a wise man, it surely means that I don't know. On a stormy sea of moving emotion, tossed about, I'm like a ship on the ocean. Set a course for winds of fortune, but I hear the voices say. So, what does all that mean? Once I rose above the noise and confusion, that's why you listen to me. I like to think I'm above the noise and confusion. It's taken a long time to get here. Just to get a glimpse beyond the illusion of the media. The fucking illusion. The lies. I was soaring ever higher, but I flew too high. When you get too far above these folks, they try to pull you down. They try to discredit you. Try to smear you. You're not allowed to fly too high in the media if you're not sponsored by a billionaire who wants to lie to people, deceive people. Though my eyes could see, I was still a blind man. Though my mind could think, I was still a madman. You guys think I might be a madman, but I'm certainly not a fucking blind man. And if you're listening to me, you're not a blind man either, a blind woman. Masquerading as a man with a reason. I think that's that could be an accurate description. My charade is the event of the season. This verse really applies to today's media, left and right wing media. They're masquerading as a man with a reason. They don't have a fucking reason other than to make money and get rich and lie to you. Their charade is the event of the season. Whatever event there is, street riots, pandemic, that's the event of the season. And if they claim to be a wise man, it surely means that they don't know. Very prophetic. This has to do with you watching the media, though, right? It's really, the lyrics are tailor-made. Kansas song. This is you when you're sitting watching these dopes on TV and on Twitter and on Facebook and on Instagram, wherever the hell you get your news. You're on a stormy sea of moving emotion, tossed about like a ship on the ocean. That's you. But the only people setting a course for the winds of fortune are the media, manipulating you at every turn, lying to you, packaging lies as news, packaging opinion as news, stuff with lies, masquerading as men and women with a reason. Their charade is the event of the season. And onward we go. Thomas Paine Podcast number 28. I'm going to lay out some heavy shit on this show as a follow-up to last week's viral number 27. And we're building a case here. Week in and week out, this is like a prosecutor laying out a criminal conspiracy of your government against you, different players and different agencies. It's a revolving door of corruption, crime, and cover-ups. And I'm laying it out on a regular basis. And we're building week upon week upon week. If you're listening, you're getting an education. So you no longer have to claim to be a wise man. And then you no longer have to be up in the air whether you know. Carry on, my wayward son. It's first of all, I listen to the music and I'm like, yes. Right away, it gets me because I love the song. But then when you look at the lyrics, it's like, whoa, this is crazy. This really applies to today. What's going on? What is going on? A little bit of everything. We're going to talk about stuff today that's really mind-blowing. A lot of folks say to me, oh, you're always breaking news on here. You guys are always doing. Yeah, well, I mean, nobody else is really talking about this stuff. Last week's podcast was insane. And just another chapter of what we're doing to lay out basically a conspiracy case, a criminal conspiracy of protection rackets through the ages. Let's do some plugs and then we'll get into things. Shout out to everybody out there on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. Some folks have asked, hey, how can we send you guys a couple bucks? How can we support what you guys are doing? That's the way to do it. Sign up. You get all kind of little vittles, all kind of good little things going on there. Extra stuff, video of the daily Pain in the Morning podcast. We might have like some other stuff coming for subscribers. Maybe a little Pain Live where we go live, take calls and stuff like that. There's a lot of stuff in the works. We're growing by baby steps. We're taking baby steps and we're taking our time and we're growing. The podcast is doing stupendous. Far beyond my expectations. And about a year ahead of schedule. From where I thought we would be, where we are now in 2021, but it's still 2020. The longest year in the history of the world, it would seem. It's a pretty long year. So we appreciate the support on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. We're coming off last night, another More Pain show. I think it was like 2.5 hours talking about everything. You can talk about it 2.5 hours. And I got done with that. And when we did the, after that, we did the Pain in the Morning right after that. And I said, you know what? I'm going to take some time off and get some sleep and relax and start thinking about what I want to really discuss on the Big Wednesday podcast. That's this podcast. Take a step back. Take a look at what's going on. How it applies today. Do some searching for lyrics and songs that really, really gel and dovetail with some of the things that are going on today. I have to tell you, and then, guys, I read so much shit on Twitter and on social media about these people who, the so-called federal contacts in the FBI and DOJ, they're just lying to you on a regular basis. It's really, it's really disturbing. You folks just eat it up. They've been wrong so many times, but you keep going back to them. I think it's like almost like a sickness or something. Like maybe it's almost cult-like behavior. Some of these quote-unquote journalists have like a cult following and they could say anything and you folks keep going back to them. I think it's... If Ozzy Osbourne's Crazy Train was licensed... I would be playing it right now in the background as I talk about this, but it's not. That would be maybe the anytime I talk about the media, we'd have Crazy Train playing in the background. But these people are masquerading as a man with a reason. And their charade is the event of the season. And that charade is that people are going to jail. This person who ran the FBI, this person who was in the FBI are going to jail. There's a big investigation. It's ongoing. Folks just keep flocking to the bullshit. I mean, I could write it too, and I could be on here telling you guys that too. And I'd probably be much more popular by doing that. But it's simply not true. It's not true. So far, the only fucking guy who's been right in the media is me. Everything I said, everything I've quote-unquote predicted, has been right on the money. So why would I be wrong about this? I'm not looking for any goddamn trophies out here. I'm just telling you how it is. Nobody's got better sources than we have, I think. Proven it time and time again. The stuff I know that's going on inside the DOJ, nobody's talking about because they don't have the access. When you talk to people who work these cases and they paint a very grim picture of what the hell's going on inside the DOJ, and it's not at all representative of what you see on Fox News and all these people on Fox. Guys, anybody on Fox with a platform is full of shit. Simple as that. They're all about the money. They're masquerading as a man with a reason. Their charade is the event of the season. You need to rise above the noise and confusion just to get a glimpse beyond their illusion. And you need to soar even higher. It's okay to fly too high, but... Sometimes when you fly too high, they call you a conspiracy theorist or this or that because they're not there. Right? It takes a while to get there. We're going to go back today, and I'm going to tell you why. Based on all the evidence we've laid out, the new information on top of the evidence we've been laying out for weeks and weeks and weeks on coronavirus and everything, all kind of other schemes, the Clinton Foundation and the FBI and the DOJ and all these agencies, all this apparatus. And the general theme is that it's us versus them. It's good versus bad. They are not good. The government is not good. The government is simply evil when it comes to you wanting to live a life of guaranteed freedoms under the Constitution of the United States. These people are not your friends. People who steal $40,000, $50,000 from you and give you $1,200 back $800 after taxes are not your friends. The fact that you may think that they are your friends, through your eyes, you may see you're still a blind man. And through your mind, you may think that you're still a madman if you think like that. I hear the voices when I'm dreaming. You need to wake up. Carry on, my wayward son, my wayward daughters. We have to be wayward in our way of thinking. We have to think outside the box. We can't be trapped inside the box. That's the box right now that says, hey, you're a racist. We live in a racist country. You need to self-loathe because you're not a good person. That's the media, that's the government working together to different governments, state governments, local governments, federal government working together to keep you distracted from the fact that they just pulled the wool over your eyes on one of the biggest schemes I've ever seen with coronavirus. And don't kid yourself, they're going to circle back to that. As the street riots die off, they will circle back to street riots. Fauci is not done. Fauci's work is not done. His career of criminality is coming to an apex for sure. I might have to take a closer look at him. But how do guys like Fauci and Redfield and Burks, how do they get here? How did the Clinton Foundation become such a criminal cartel, unchecked, free to operate, free to commit whatever federal... It's really crazy. They do whatever they want. Clintons can do whatever they want. But why? Why can they do whatever they want? Why hasn't anybody done anything about it? We need to go back. To step back to when Bill Clinton was president. Examine these things. What the fuck happened? How were they allowed to operate? We talked about it last night on the Moore Payne Show. I went into some of the detail, but we got sidetracked with a lot of this stuff that's going on in the streets. See, that's the whole point. That's the whole point. It's so easy to get sidetracked today. So easy to get, take the focus off of what you should be worrying about. Look away from the charade of the season, which is promoted by people masquerading as a man with a reason. We just go back to Carry On Wayward Son lyrics. Two verses in there that tell you all you need to know. Don't you cry no more. Once you rise above the noise and confusion, and you understand what is and what isn't an illusion, there's no reason to cry. There's no reason to get frustrated. There's no reason to want to put your head through a piece of drywall. And things start to make sense. You see how that people are manipulated, like the people now in the streets are manipulated. There are people paid and things like that, but they depend on the useful idiots that they can manipulate to come along for the ride. It's a charade. And they want you to look away from things about like these master criminals who are running the country. You may not even know it. With a license from places like the DOJ, the State Department, the FBI, Central Intelligence Agency, DOD, they all license these people. That's why they're never prosecuted. They're never prosecuted because there's so many people in on these schemes, okay? It would be impossible to prosecute them. That includes high-ranking FBI guys through the years. Mueller, Comey, McCabe. These guys know where all the bodies are buried, literally, of these other people. They've already gotten a glimpse beyond the illusion. They know these people selling this crap to you are masquerading as people with a reason. The reason is they make money. Look, there's a lot of money in lying to you and stringing you along and letting you know that something's going to happen. And it's never happened. It's been almost 4 years. Guys, come on. Wake up. They get your hopes up and then they crush you. But they're not telling you the truth the whole time. And then they crush you and then you guys come back for more. You keep watching Fox. And you come back to guys like me. He's like, you were right. You were right. But, you know, like on Patreon, I don't know. I don't want to subscribe. You know, I can't really afford it right now. It's understandable. But listen, you're paying for Fox. You're paying for you're paying for CNN. You're paying for CBS, ABC, and your cable bill. You're already paying for these people and they lied to you. This is such a reach that you may support somebody or people or myself and others. Select few, I would tell you, that are out here telling you the truth. What is that worth? What is clarity worth? What is it worth for me to tell you that the street riots and the racial, quote unquote, racial strife going on right now is just fabricated bullshit? It's not real. It's real in the sense that they'll burn your city down, but there's no racism in America like they depict it. This is a distraction to keep you distracted from what just happened to you. They turned your life upside down. You don't think the media and the government are working in tandem? You really need to start listening to some of the back shows. You may have to go way back. Sometimes I think it's not so much a podcasting as I am just explaining to my kids when they listen back to this over time when I'm gone to say, wow, this guy was trying to teach us something here that we weren't necessarily ready to hear at the time that he was saying it, but now we are. And people say, well, what's the theme of your podcast? I feel like saying, it's not really a podcast. I'm just laying out some lessons. You can teach your sons how to shave or how to tie a necktie. That's one thing. But giving them life lessons on how not to be manipulated by fraudsters and grifters and the media and the government is much more important. To me, at least. And hopefully my grandkids will be able to do the same, to give them some guidance. So that's what this is about for me, and I'm glad that you're along for the ride and the journey that we're on. I'm having a fascinating time explaining these things and providing insights and also learning along the way. I'm learning so much from people. It's crazy. Whether it's Bobby Kennedy Jr. or Dr. Judy Mikovits or John Moynihan or Larry Doyle, and the list goes on and on and on. Joe Nocio. I mean, we've talked to so many people in the last few months. We started this thing. It's really crazy to go back and look at the body of work. I'm very proud of it. We're just warming up. In order to understand how you got to the present, you have to look at the history. We're going to do that today. We're going to rip through this because people have precious time. And I talk enough through the week. So you may or may not be sick of my voice, but I'm trying to tell you guys stuff. I had a tough week. We lost our dog last week. We had to put our dog to sleep. Our shepherd, German shepherd. So it was a brutal week for me. The one shining moment, though, was the podcast with Moynihan and Doyle. I don't know about you guys. I had to listen to that three times to get everything they were saying. Well, actually, four times because I conducted the interview. But afterwards, I listened to it three times, and I still don't have everything. I still, it's mind-blowing. I should just replay that today. That should be the podcast. I should come on here and say, guys, if you missed this, you need to hear it again. But instead of doing that, I'm going to say, listen to it. Episode 27. It's a monster. Oh, by the way, I'm not going to make a big production out of it, but Apple's like, it's vanished from Apple off and on all week in the Apple playlist. Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. A lot of people are saying, where's episode 27? I can't find it. I have to send them like a direct link. I don't know what's behind that, and I don't really, whatever. You know, you can always find the links on True Pundit or notify me or something, and I'll hook you up. But usually we do news stories, and then we put the links directly in there, and as well as the, you can play it, stream it right from the story. So it is what it is. We're used to that kind of thing happening. Just strange occurrences that always seem to happen on a weekly basis just to a select few people in the media. Whatever. So let's talk about people say, hey, how do you know no one's going to jail? What's the story with you? Why is everybody in the media saying, and right wing media saying, these people are going to jail? Except for you. You're the only fucking guy, basically, who's been saying this now for years, by the way. You have to understand the history. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to provide you guys with a glimpse beyond the illusion, beyond and above the noise and confusion, so that you can soar higher. Carry on my wayward son. Carry on my wayward daughters. This is how we carry on above the media's noise and confusion. Get outside the box beyond their illusion. This is why I'm here. This is why I'm doing this. And also to provide a roadmap for those to come after me, whether it's people in my family or people in your family, whatever. You have to look back. You have to understand the FBI. I worked for these guys, to say the least, okay? That's putting it lightly. The Department of Justice, they're there to protect the elites. That's a glimpse beyond the illusion of law and order in this country, which is an illusion. And you're seeing that unfold on the streets, folks, before your eyes, even though that's concocted. And it's definitely AstroTurf. People are paid and being allowed to tear cities down and police being told to stand down and things like that. The true illusion here is law and order. There is no law and order in the United States. Simply because there are two very distinct sets of laws for different people, for different classes of people. I'm a middle class guy. I was a kid who grew up below the poverty line. So I'm doing better as I've worked my way up to middle class. But I was a poor kid. We were a poor family, man. So most of the people that listen to me and follow us and support us are middle class, upper middle class, and lower middle class folks. So this is who I'm talking to. These are the have-nots. I don't think there are very few haves that are listening to me. If they are listening to me, it's for nefarious reasons. To protect their own wrinkled asses. So we have the haves versus the have-nots. And this is something that has played out specifically in the last 20, 30, 40 years. Really been on steroids as opposed to previous years. The pie, whether you rate it by world wealth or GDP of different countries, however you want to break up your pie, is only so big. The uber wealthy want to keep their piece of the pie and they want their pieces to get bigger. As you advance, like I have and my family has, you pull yourself up from the poverty line, which is fucking nearly impossible to do. I don't even know how we did it. And you become middle class or upper middle class if you can get there without being kicked in the teeth like we were the last couple months. Kicked down four or five economic, socioeconomic pegs on the ladder. Set us back 20, 40, 60 years is what's happened in the last several months. Whether people realize it or not, in D.C., the people on Main Street certainly realize it, but the piece of the pie is only so big that these people have, because the pie doesn't really get bigger. The more you succeed, the more piece of the pie you chip away from the super elites and the super rich in this country. And in the world, really. The same could be applied to the world. The pie theory. It's not really a theory. It's a fucking fact. I should cue up Warrant's Cherry Pie. Remember that song? She's my cherry pie. This is how my brain worked. Now I'm thinking about music in the background when I talk about things. When you start being successful and getting a little bit more than you should, so to speak, or breaking the glass ceiling of different classes, socioeconomic classes, you're taking a piece of the pie that the really rich people want. And it's sometimes the more the folks that are succeeding and the better the economy is and better businesses are, they get a little bit uncomfortable, beyond uncomfortable. So they are the haves. You are the have-nots. It's very basic. This all goes back to what I'm saying about the FBI and the DOJ. The DOJ and the FBI are basically the guard dogs, the protectors of the haves. It's very rare that the haves go to prison. If they do, it's an arrangement. Sure, they're patsies and things like that. A guy like Anthony Weiner's a patsy. He had to go to prison because he was, not because he was harassing young girls online or on his cell phone. That's not why he went to prison. He went to prison because he was collecting. Guess he was concocting kind of an intel stew against the Clinton Foundation and a lot of the players. His quote-unquote life insurance policy file and other things on his laptop. And I think he was getting ready to blow the whistle on these people or something. So he had to be taken down a few pegs and go to federal prison and learn his place. And somebody pulled him aside, probably Schumer, and said, hey, look, the next stop is Vince Foster Park. You're going to be double tapped. Well, you have two gunshots to the head and we'll call it a suicide. An Arkansas suicide, so to speak. Like Gary Webb, former mentor of mine. You can Google Gary. Fantastic journalist who paid the ultimate price. And not by his own hand, by the way. So here we are. The illusion. You're getting a glimpse beyond the illusion of law and order. And the sentinels that we have in place that are supposed to keep law and order, maintain law and order, prosecute law and order, are hired thugs basically to keep you down and protect the Cavs and their Sentinels. Guys like Mueller. Guys like Bolton. All the loudmouths. Guys like Brennan. Guys like Colin Powell. Women like Condoleezza Rice. Women like Susan Rice. Loretta Lynch. Eric Holder. List goes on and on and on through the years. You can go back. We can go way back. Way back. It goes on forever. Attorney generals I worked for, John Ashcroft. FBI Director Louis Free. When I started working for the Bureau, Free was the director. It goes way back. They're all sentinels. They all protect. I was chasing a U.S. congressman slash senator at the time when I was a journalist. This was my swan song. I quit because I had had it with how rigged the system was. I was considered one of the best journalists in the country at the time. I was 26, 27. I was a young guy. I wasn't in the media long. It didn't take me long to figure out it was a rigged game for rich, the really rich people who own the newspapers and the publishers and things like that. Really rigged. And I wasn't going to be a pawn. I wanted to do other things. And I wanted to provide for my family. And I wasn't going to be anybody's pawn, so... We're chasing this guy. Basically, I was chasing him. There were some other people involved, but I was the primary. And found out that he was harboring the daughter of a federal fugitive, bank fugitive, who had fled the country. And this congressman slash senator, later became a senator, was... I found out was the legal guardian of the girl. And while the FBI was looking for the guy, he told the FBI, I don't know where this guy is. I haven't had any contact with him. I forget how many millions the guy stole from a bank. Banks in California. It's really an incredible story. People always say back in the day, are you going to write a book on that? I said, nah, I don't think so. Right? There's too many other things going on, but told the FBI, yeah, I don't know anything about this guy. Meanwhile, he was in contact with the guy to have papers signed. The guy fled back to Korea. He was in contact with the guy to have papers signed to be the legal guardian of his daughter in New Jersey. So when the story came out, I had the FBI agent on record saying, yeah, I talked to this guy, and he said he didn't know anything about it. So he lied. That's a federal crime. See the case of General Mike Flynn. It was a fucking home run story. Nailed it, upside down and sideways. Get all kind of congratulations the day it comes out. You have to be careful, though, in journalism. You can go from hero to zero real quick when you're dealing with the FBI and congressmen and stuff. This is when I first learned about the protection racket. By 5 o'clock that day, a strange letter came from the FBI via fax. Back then, you had fax to the newspaper saying, the FBI has no record that the congressman slash senator was interviewed by the FBI. I get called in like I did something wrong and that I'm the liar because the people that work in newspapers are basically spineless fucks. When the chips are down, they're afraid of their own shadow. It's even worse now. I mean, at least back then we had some guys in Hackensack with some balls. I give them credit, but now... The soy latte crowd, forget it. They'd be running for the fucking hills. They'd be hiding in the corner, naked in the fetal position, shivering. I get called in like I did something wrong because The fucking FBI says that there's no record that the congressman slash senator was interviewed. So I must have made it up, even though we quoted a guy in the fucking story. And the FBI had called the paper, said that that guy he quoted never said that. So your reporter's full of shit. So I'm thrown under the bus. I went from hero to zero in 4 hours. Top story. Everybody was picking it up on the wires. AP. Everybody was all over the place. That, you know, when we did it, broke the original story. Okay, so it was all over the place. It was good publicity for the paper. The TV news was on it. It was a national story. 4 hours later, I was looking at getting fired. Right? The FBI said I was lying. This was Louis Free. Came from Director Louis Free's office through the Newark field office. So the FBI has no record that this guy was interviewed. Not saying the FBI was going to take what was in our story and investigate what the hell happened. They didn't say that. They said that the story was full of shit and that I was a liar. I've broken tons of stories for that newspaper, and I won I was up for two Pulitzer Prizes, and I won a Loeb Award. And still, they bring you in and they treat you like a piece of meat. How could you do this? They said you made this stuff up. This guy never talked to you. I said, let me see what's going on. I called the fucking guy, the FBI guy. So what the fuck is the matter with you specifically? Now, he had just retired. Okay. But he was talking about his experiences interviewing in the guy's congressional office, conducting the interview, an official interview. It's part of a criminal probe working on a fugitive case to try to get this crazy man back from Korea who had fled to Korea. I think it was $50, $60, $70 million, $30 million, whatever it was, bank fraud. He said, you don't understand. I got a call today. They're going to fucking take my pension away. I'm in a lot of hot water. I said, so you lie to them? Hangs the phone up. So I'm still screwed. I don't have him on. I'm taping the conversation with him, trying to get him to say, yeah, well, I did say that to you, right? So I can give the people at the newspaper, say, look, the fucking guy lied. He's lying. But I was kind of a cool cucumber back then. Number one. Number two, I already had made a decision that I was leaving the paper. This was like my final thing. I just didn't know when. My wife was saying, well, write it out. You know, you want to go into Intel, but we need the salary, that kind of thing. You know, I had a young kid. Anyway, bing, bang, boom, what happens? I get called in. They're like, this is bad. This is director of the FBI. They're throwing you under the bus. And we're going to have to print a retraction and all this stuff. Can you imagine? I worked months on this story. Months. And made incredible leaps. This is like fucking getting to the moon on a $100 budget, Incredible story. That's when you know when you break good shit. People come out right away and Facebook fact checked our story last week on the podcast on Moynihan and Doyle. Facebook fact checked it. They found it to be inaccurate. They got some dope at USA Today who has never written a story on the FBI or anything to fact check it. Yeah. Moynihan and Doyle have been working this case for 5 fucking years. Fact check that, Zuckerberg, you dummy. That's when you know you're over your target, when they panic right away. So I was going to get fired. I called my wife. I said, yeah, these guys are like, These guys are like fucking assholes up here. Everything I've done for them, you don't understand. When you're a reporter, they own you, man. You go on vacation, you got a big story pending. I used to go on vacation, be like, get a week off or something, like a big deal. And we'd scratch up enough money to go down to the beach somewhere. And they'd call the whole time, where are you going to be? Because we have the lawyers, you know, with this story, we got to talk to you. And you're like, you're like a piece of meat. They own you. The harder you work, the more they own you. If you're a drifter and you don't do anything, it's almost better. If you're like a hobo, many hobos there, it's almost better. So, you know, I said to these guys, I think it was like 26, 27. I was cool as a cucumber. I'm like, you guys can go fuck yourself. I'm going home. It's your problem. If you don't believe me, you don't want to stand behind me, that's fine. Do what you got to do. So I went home and I figured I'd let these assholes stew for a while. And I called him up when I got home. I was, you know, hanging out with my wife and my son. And I was like, this is fucking bullshit. But, I had other irons in the fire, so I wasn't really sweating too much. I called him up. I said, what's the story up there? What are you guys going to do? And I said, yeah, well, we're going to have to probably print a retraction and, you know, say the story. We don't stand behind the story. I said, don't you want to hear a tape of the guy when I interviewed him? I said, what guy? I said, the FBI guy. Don't you want to hear the tape of my interview with him? And they were like, wait a minute. You didn't say you had a tape. I said, you didn't fucking ask. You were too busy telling me that I was fired or that I screwed up and that you're not standing behind my story. And I said to my editor, if you want to hear the tape, give me a call back. So the fucking top editor of the newspaper called me within like 3 minutes. Like, what's going on with this tape? I said, look, you guys think I'm going to take on a congressman or a senator and not have my shit together and not have my stuff taped? Are you out of your fucking mind? Who do you think you're dealing with? At the time, guys, I was getting threats. My family was getting threatened. The newspaper called me a couple times. They said, the state, we got the Hackensack police here. We got a state cop here out front. So, the threats on the newspaper because of stuff I was printing. We had done like two or three stories on this guy, on this congressman, taking him fucking down. And it was an election year. All of a sudden, I start getting threatened. My family starts getting threatened. So I say to the guys, these dopes, I said, I'm getting fucking death threats. You don't think I'm going to tape people? You guys are stupid. Of course there's a tape. I said, I'll bring it in tomorrow. We're sending somebody to the house tonight. I said, don't come to my fucking house tonight. I don't want to see any of you fucking vagrants at my house tonight. I've had it with you after your antics today. Don't come to the house tonight or you'll never get the tape. And you can pack my shit up in a box and send it home to me. I'm fucking had it with you guys. This is it for me. You understand? You didn't stand behind me. The point of this is that the FBI went out of its way to protect this guy and to lie. For what? Instead of investigating what we had printed in the paper, which was dead on, they lied about it. They covered up for this guy. It took him 4 hours to get the director of the FBI to try to ruin me. Ruin my career. Make me unemployed. For what? That was the first time I got a taste of the protection racket. At the same time, unbeknownst to me, it all plays in. Of course, the guy was a Democrat, too. I forgot to mention that. I'm not even going to mention his name because it's like a war that's gone on forever. And I don't even want to give the guy's name. People can figure it out or they can fucking Google it or whatever. This all adds up, though. When we're talking about the Clintons, at the same time this was going on, the protection racket and the FBI and the DOJ was in full fucking force for the Clintons. President Bill Clinton at the time. Okay. They were selling stuff. the Clinton White House was selling stuff. Stuff meaning nuclear warheads, plans for fighter jets, national security secrets, blueprints, out the back door to the Chinese. For cash or whatever the hell. Women, who knows what this fucking guy was selling. Was getting in return, this quid pro quo. Who knows what these dopes, he and Hillary and their criminal cabal were up to. I sat with a, if this story is not intriguing to you, I don't know what is. This is like the kind of shit that spy novels are made of. And for good reason. There's a lot of espionage involved here and treason and everything else. I sat recently with broke bread with a congressman who gave me all kind of little secrets about the Clintons and the Chinese. And look where we are today. The Chinese. Remember the folks in the media? They've been painting Russia as the number one threat to America. I laugh at every time. People used to say True Pundit was a Russian outfit. I just laughed at it. I said, Russian outfit? This is what the media is worried about, Russia? They don't know about the fucking Chinese? This is before coronavirus and CoronaCon. But the Chinese and the U.S. government have upped their game. They've gone from stealing military secrets to stealing biological secrets. This is where we are now. They've graduated. The Chinese communist government is much more adept at bribing U.S. officials and U.S. scientists and U.S. academics, U.S. companies now. Instead of stealing stuff, sending their own people to steal stuff, they just bribe people in the U.S. to do it for them. A lot easier. And we see examples of that playing out in the media upside down and sideways. This congressman, with a collection of other congressmen, had the same time the stuff protection racket that I was getting a taste of across town in the New York Metro media market. Down in D.C., a collection of congressmen were telling the FBI and Mr. Free and his successor, Robert Mueller, FBI director. They were telling these guys that Clintons have sold us out, have sold military secrets, have given the farm away to the Chinese. Out the back door of the White House. Out the back door of the State Department. Okay? It's taken all this time for me to understand why it really is crazy, a crazy story. Taking me all this time to understand that I was just a little pissing it that the FBI was trying to take out. At the same exact time, they were in the process of ignoring massive intelligence dumps onto them by members of Congress who were saying, what the fuck are you guys going to do here? This is bad. And what did they do? They did nothing. They covered it up. Free. Mueller. Specifically Mueller. That puts the scandal into the George Bush administration. You don't see any difference now between the Bushes and the Clintons. It's all one fucking cabal. The story should be interesting. You should be spellbound by this shit. And we're going to get into the facts. Things that a congressman handed me that they delivered to the FBI, a collection of intel on the Clintons, that they delivered to the FBI in the 1990s and early 2000s. And guess what happened? Not a fucking thing. When I say you need to go back in history to understand what's the relevance of why nothing's happening today, you understand that through history, this has been nothing but a protection racket. like I said, they've protected these people because there's other higher ranking people in the government apparatus and the elites or whatever that have profited from this. They don't want those people exposed because other scandals would unravel. People start ratting each other out. I think other much more nefarious scandals that are more related along the lines of Mr. Epstein and what he was into. Okay. It's one thing to it's one thing to give the technology of nuclear warheads to China. It's another thing if you got paid an underage sex slaves to do so, things like that. You start thinking along those lines and you understand that none of this stuff will ever come out as far as indictments and prosecutions and things like that. It's important to remember during all this time, folks who are cutting their teeth in the Department of Justice and the FBI, in similar markets, similar field offices, were guys like Andrew McCabe, Strzok, Priestip, Comey, obviously Mueller. He was director of the FBI at the time. Okay. In the Department of Justice, Christopher Wray. Are you on? And the Attorney General Poppy Bush, after, you can't even make it up. You can't even make it up. Was William Barr, and he's got a lot of skeletons in his closet. So you have to look at all these players, these names that keep popping up. It's really intense, folks. You understand the tentacles of this protection racket. So let's go over some of the things that were handed to me by a congressman that were handed to the FBI. More than handed, they were, pressed. Having to do with selling the country out to the Chinese, the Clintons. The FBI and Department of Justice was provided reams of evidence that reveal, among other things, I broke these down, so let's just go through this. And we're going to talk about a lot of other things. This stuff has not been, I think, some of this stuff might be public, but might not be. I think a lot of this stuff is new. The evidence provided by Congress to the FBI and the Department of Justice. Now, this is during and right after the time that Clinton was president of the United States. This isn't like a year ago or 2 years ago. This stuff was given in the late 90s, early 2000s. Evidence showed that was provided by Congress was a systemic, well-planned effort by the Chinese military at the highest levels to target and acquire technology for military modernization. That is the targeting effort and financing to acquire technology and buy influence at the highest levels of the U.S. government were planned and implemented by Chinese military intelligence through the Second Department under the General Staff Department. The Chinese military acquired many of the technologies over the past 7 years, although many of them had been targeted for acquisition for more than a quarter century. They're talking about the Clinton presidency. The Chinese military and the Chinese government set up a series of front companies and cutouts to mask its technology targeting efforts and to launder money to hide its origin. Chinese military intelligence even resorted to the use of companies and bank accounts of the infamous Macau and Hong Kong Chinese triad for this purposes. These are criminal cartels they're talking about. Drug cartels and gangs. That even after the U.S. government learned of the diversion. Of course, the Congress folks like to use the word diversion instead of theft because, you know, when you're writing this stuff to the FBI or the Attorney General, if it becomes FOIA'd, you know, they use the word diversion, but we'll just change the word diversion to theft, or I'll say diversion theft / theft. Even after the U.S. government learned of the diversion / theft of the W-88 nuclear warhead design in late 1995 into 1996, the Clinton administration did nothing and continued to liberalize export controls of such sensitive technologies as computers, encryption, machine tools, telecommunications, stealth technologies, space launch technologies, satellites, the array of hot section technologies to improve the performance of life of jet engines, and high temperature furnaces essential for the production of components of missiles and nuclear weapons. Despite knowledge of the U.S. designs for nuclear warheads, for example, the Clinton administration still undertook a serious effort to redefine supercomputers to allow for increased exports of high-performance computers to China. Rationale was not based on strategic criteria. Instead, it was governed by economic considerations of a few companies whose executives had supported President Clinton in 1992 and again in 1996. A September 1993 letter from President Clinton to Silicon Graphics CEO Edward McCracken, for example, promised to liberalize exports controls of computers, machine tools, and telecommunication technologies. And they attached that letter with the packet to the FBI. In another instance, one national security official in March 1998, some 2 years after knowledge of the W-88 and other U.S. nuclear warhead design diversions / thefts, had proposed blanket waivers for the satellite sales to China in exchange for China joining the missile technology regime. This goes on and on. This is fucking stunning. Obviously, that wasn't part of the letter. That was me throwing in my editorialization. But the Clinton administration certified China in 1998 to receive nuclear technology for being in compliance with non-proliferation regimes, even though there was strong evidence the Chinese government was continuing its proliferation activities with Iran, North Korea, Syria, Pakistan, and Libya. This is important to note right here. This is me again. Such proliferation activities, which were contrary to the U.S.-Chinese understandings, continue unabated to this day. The cumulative impact of all these targeted technologies that were diverted / stolen by the Clinton, during the Clinton administration, however you want to put it, now permit China to, one, develop reliable intercontinental ballistic missiles with insights into MIRV, that ICBM force. Two, miniaturized nuclear weapons and nuclear warheads. The theft of the, this is me again, not the document, the theft of the W-88 miniature nuclear warhead. Just up and left and ended up in China somehow during the Clinton administration. How do we know? Who did it? The FBI never investigated. Or if they did, no one was prosecuted. Number three, implement a command and control structure for its growing ICBM force. Number four, develop an integrated command, control, communications, computer, and intelligence encrypted network to enable better military command and control over vast areas, even beyond China itself. Next one, improve power projection for its nuclear fleet, submarines, and long-range cruise missiles capable of hitting not only Taiwan, but also Japan from mainland China. Produce more proficient fighter and bomber aircraft capable of greater distances and speeds. That the administration, as early as 1994, systematically dismantled its system of monitoring the influx of Chinese and other foreign nationals visiting the U.S. high technology companies, also to include our nuclear weapons labs. As a result, there are many tens of thousands of Chinese in the United States. We don't even know where they are or what they're doing. In fact, it wasn't until just prior to public revelations of alleged Chinese espionage in our nation's nuclear weapons lab that the Energy Department decided to seek export licenses from the Commerce Department for foreign national visits. Yet the requirement had always been law. And where was the Commerce Department in not forcing the issue with the Energy Department? The notion that Chinese and other foreign nationals would be allowed to access information or allowed access to the facilities where U.S. nuclear weapons to develop is unconscionable. I seriously doubt the Chinese labs would allow U.S. scientists into their nuclear weapons labs. That was sent to the FBI, along with a lot of other stuff. Specifically, let's cover some of the stuff, some other stuff we're going to get into here. My own editorialization right here, real quick. If you didn't prosecute these people responsible for this for treason, how are you going to prosecute them for some tax violations or ripping people off with a charitable foundation, a fraudulently charitable foundation? You understand? You have to go back. It's where we're going back into history and where they're seeing how the protection racket evolves. This is much bigger than ripping off a bunch of companies and pumping fake vaccines in the arms of children in third world countries, although perhaps not as egregious and nefarious as something like that. Selling your country down the river and allowing one of its massive rivals to steal and acquire your missile, nuclear technology. Do we cover the part with the submarines? Yeah, I said that right. Let me see. What kind of documents here? Goes on and on and on. In other words, you see that the evolution of the protection racket. If they cover this up, what they're covering up now is not that big of a deal. But here's the catch. If guys like Comey and Mueller and McCabe knew all about this, and they did, because I just showed you that this stuff was sent to Mueller and the FBI, not by some crackpot who's writing this stuff on his typewriter like Ted fucking Kaczynski in a shack, the Unabomber, but by a consortium of concerned U.S. congressmen who obviously did their homework. They have investigators and lawyers researching this for them before they put the stuff in writing and give it to the goddamn FBI and the Justice Department, the Attorney General. Nothing happens? What does that tell you? To me, it tells me that Washington was a lost ship in the 1990s, probably earlier. But let's take it back in my lifetime, in the parallels of my experience with the FBI at the same fucking time, covering up for this guy, this congressman, And then you find out that that's nothing compared to what they were really up to, covering up for the White House. Maybe that's why Louis Free hates the Clintons so much. He didn't hate them enough to indict them. He had the proof. I just fucking told you. He had the proof right here. To at least launch a massive investigation that would have resulted in indictments. It was up to him and other leaders of the FBI to decide how hard to press the case as far as if you can press it all the way to the White House. This makes the Monica Lewinsky situation look like a fucking training film. Let's look at some other things at the same time that were playing out in the Bill Clinton White House to frame what I just said, to frame what was given to me, that was what was given to the FBI. This is like taking a step back in a fucking time machine. We can see the evolution of the protection racket. It's very important. Right? Didn't we talk about the Carry On My Wayward Son lyrics earlier? We're rising above the noise and confusion. We're getting a glimpse beyond the illusion, even if the illusion is decades old. The education here is what's important, to understand that this isn't something new. This isn't something that started when Trump ran for president. This is something that started a long time ago. And we're just isolating the 1990s when Bill Clinton was in office. Obviously, it goes back a lot farther than that. Just ask Bill Barr. Ask Bill Barr, who was the Attorney General for Poppy Bush before Clinton. You can ask him how far back it goes. He would know. At the same time, talking about this situation, Bill Clinton signed export control waivers, which allowed his top campaign fundraisers, aerospace company, to transfer sensitive U.S. missile guidance technology to China. There's a speech. I'm pulling this from. I'm going to tell you where I'm getting this from. There's a fucking speech that James Inhofe gave. Oklahoma Senator James Inhofe gave on the Senate floor March 15th, 1999. I look back at this, I said, holy shit. See if I can. Inhofe was a member of the Senate Armed Services Intelligence Committee. Right? And he may or may have not been behind the similar stuff that I'm saying that was forwarded to the FBI. You can put two and two together. This is the public face of what they were saying. The poker face of what they were giving the FBI behind the scenes is much more damning. This is what Inhofe said on the Senate floor. I mean, just really laying out a story and conspiracy of espionage, conspiracy, deception, cover up. A story with life and death implications for millions of Americans. A story about national security and a president and an administration that deliberately chose to put national security at risk while telling the people everything was fine. These are Inhofe's words. He said, if it was written in a book, it wouldn't sell because no one would believe it. If it was fictionalized in a novel, few could conceive it, but it's true. Now, for the sake of my statement today, I am stating that the president withheld information and covered up the Chinese theft of our technology. But I'm realistic enough to know that a person with the history of deception this president has will be provided himself with some cover in case he gets caught. So I'm sure there is a paper trail that he can allege. The way the president probably covered himself was to include tidbits about this theft buried in briefings or 40 or 50 other items, so the significance of it would not be noticed. But a paper trail would be established, Anticipating that, I talked to the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Representative Porter Goss, and the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee. At the time of the discovery of this information, Senator Arlen Specter, neither chairman was notified of the W-88 nuclear warhead technology theft. See, Inhofe is calling it theft. The congressional documents I got to the FBI are calling it a diversion, but we talked about it's the same fucking thing. So Inhofe is up in his game on the Senate floor. Put more pressure on the folks. Do you see what's going on? You see the front game. This is on the Senate floor. You see the back game. They're pressing this behind the scenes. A guy like Inhofe goes out front then on the mic, and he's putting pressure on the FBI and the DOJ to see if they will do something. It's probably an indication that they weren't getting the response from these people that they wanted. So he goes public on the Senate floor, where everybody in the media has to report on what he's saying, whether they like it or not. That's putting pressure. That's applying pressure onto the FBI and DOJ. And these would have been the first to be notified. There could be no doubt that President Clinton engaged in a cover-up scheme. So we're going to take some highlights from Inhofe's first speech, which can be found in reference to the Library of Congress. I'm not sure if there's a video of it, but we pulled it from the Library of Congress. These are the highlights. Bill Clinton signed export control waivers, which allowed his top campaign fundraisers, aerospace company, to transfer sensitive U.S. missile guidance technology to China. This ultimately resulted in China acquiring advanced U.S. missile guidance technology, making their missiles more accurate and more reliable. President Clinton personally signed the waiver allowing China to achieve the missile technology. I'm doing a combination of Inhofe's exact words and also summarizing it for brevity. Clinton shifted the prime satellite export responsibility from the State Department to the Commerce Department, making it easier for China and others to get sensitive military-related technology. See, by doing that, it's obvious. With his Commerce Secretary, who was Clinton's Commerce Secretary? I'm just looking this up on the fly. Clinton Commerce Secretary. Get the fuck out of here. Come on. Clinton's Commerce Secretary was Ron Brown. Do you remember Ron Brown? What happened to Ron Brown? Let me just pull here. Jesus Christ. Did I trip into this or what? This is why you always have to check things and go a step further. On April 3rd, this is a sidebar. On April 3rd, 1996, when Brown was 54, on an official trade mission, the U.S. Air Force, a CT-43, which is a modified Boeing 737, carrying Brown and 34 other people, including New York Times Frankfurt Bureau Chief Nathaniel Nash, crashed in Croatia. The airline crashed into a mountainside. Everyone aboard was killed instantly, except for Air Force Tech Sergeant Shelley Kelly, a flight attendant who died while being transported to the hospital. Speculations as to the circumstances surrounding the plane crash that caused Brown's death include many government cover-up and conspiracy theories, largely based on Brown having been under investigation by the Independent Counsel for Corruption. Of specific concern was a trip Brown had made to Vietnam on behalf of the Clinton administration. Brown carried an offer for normalizing relations between the United States and the former communist enemy. Yeah. Wonder if he had a briefcase. Also sell W-88 warhead, nuclear warhead technology. Or U.S. missile guidance systems to Vietnam to smooth things over. Anyway, Ron Brown, RIP, rest in peace. A victim linked to the Clinton body count, one of the premier victims, was the Secretary of Commerce for the Clinton administration while this shit was going down with the Chinese. Time to get rid of him. The FBI come knocking at the same time. Was the FBI knocking? Was the FBI talking to Brown? Sure looks that way. Based on what we've been told from congressmen who had laid all this out to the FBI. That ups the game from Brown being under investigation by an independent counsel for corruption. But it is the independent counsel is under the Justice Department's Justice Office of Special Counsel, just like Mueller was. So they were looking at the corruption. The independent counsel at the time was basically the same thing as a special counsel, they call. But back then, it was called independent counsel, and it's basically an independent prosecutor, separate from the Attorney General of the United States. Just like Mueller was. Mueller was running his own operation. So Ron Brown was a target of special counsel looking into Clinton administration. Corruption. Same stuff that I just read to you that was given to the FBI. Then they take that and they go talk to guys like Ron Brown. And then Ron Brown dies in a plane crash. Investigation, that part of the investigation then is over. Your fact witness has been flown into with 34 other potential fact witnesses, or you know, partially has been flown into the side of a mountain in Croatia. And that's the end of that. Let's get back to Senator Inhofe. He said executives of these two operations, these two corporations, which benefited Laurel and Hughes, were among the largest financial creditors to President Clinton's campaign ever. But this is not important. The motive for aiding and abetting our adversaries could be money, or could be some kind of perverted allegiance to some of these countries, or it could be just a callous disregard for the lives of American citizens. The fact is, President Clinton did it, and he knew exactly what he was doing. Apparently so did Ron Brown. Jesus Christ. Clinton held over 100 White House fundraisers, many from illegal foreign sources, primarily including sources in China. Clinton allowed questionable security clearances to highly sensitive agencies without background checks. Clinton stopped the deployment of a national missile defense system, exposing every American life to a missile attack, leaving us with no defense against an intercontinental ballistic missile. Clinton lied to the American people about the nuclear threat from China by stating, quote, for the first time since the dawn of the nuclear age, there is not a single solitary nuclear missile pointed at an American child tonight. Not one. Not a single one, unquote. Senator Inhofe made it clear that this Clinton statement was a bold-faced lie and that Clinton knew that China was targeting up to 18 intercontinental ballistic missiles at American children. Clinton covered up China's theft of our W-88 compact nuclear warhead, which is only 2.5 feet long, weighing only 300 pounds, but with a yield 10 times more powerful than the bomb dropped on Hiroshima. That set the stage for China's development of MIRV, multiple warhead technology, allowing up to 8 warheads on each submarine-launched ballistic missile, and up to 10 nuclear warheads on each Chinese ICBM. In other words, they wouldn't have been able to achieve that technology without the theft of the W/88 U.S. defense technology. This is fucking crazy. Senator Inhofe states, by helping China develop their long-range missile program, President Clinton was also helping North Korea and other rogue nations with theirs. Yes, because what happened was the Chinese duplicated this and then sold their duplication of this to other countries, including North Korea, including Iran. So today when they talk about nuclear proliferation in places like North Korea and Iran, and they're a threat to the United States, look no further than the Clinton administration. Look no further than the FBI covering this up and doing nothing. Look no further than the special counsel doing nothing at the time under the United States Department of Justice. Look no further than the mysterious death of Ron Brown, a guy who probably was poised to talk or was talking. Let's all be adults in the room. The kiddie table, okay? The kiddie table was cleared. The Twitter journalism, the Twitterazzi, this is beyond these dopes. Beyond them. Let's take it a step further. Inhofe gave a second speech on the Senate floor. The Clinton national security scandal and cover-up, June 23rd, 1999, on the Senate floor. The other one, the first speech, was March 15th, 1999, so a couple months later. This all dovetails with the stuff that the congressman gave me that they were developing. They were feeding this intel to the FBI and to the Department of Justice, and they were not getting traction. So Inhofe goes out and starts pressing the case on the Senate floor to the public and to the media, because obviously they were not getting the traction they wanted to get from Justice and from the FBI, from Louis Freeh. According to Inhofe's second speech, Clinton and Gore helped China enhance its nuclear payload delivery systems through, number one, transfer to China of the so-called legacy codes containing data on 50 years of new U.S. nuclear weapons development, including over 1,000 nuclear tests. This is what the White House, Clinton and Gore, provided China. Two, the sale and diversion of military purposes of hundreds of high-performance computers, enabling China to enhance its development of nuclear weapons, ballistic missiles, and advanced military aviation equipment. Three, the theft of China of nuclear warhead simulation technology. Four, the theft of advanced electromagnetic weapons technology useful in the development of anti-satellite and anti-missile systems. Five, the transfer of missile nose cone technology, enabling China to substantially improve the reliability of its intercontinental ballistic missiles. Six, the transfer of missile guidance technology by President Clinton to China, enabling China to substantially improve the accuracy of its ballistic missiles, the same missiles that were targeting U.S. cities. You fucking getting this, folks? Are you getting this? The theft of space based radar technology, giving China the ability to detect and previously the U.S. previously undetectable submerged submarines. Ratting out the fucking Navy. Can you believe these people? The theft of some other classified thermonuclear. This is the most fucking disturbing. Listen to this one. The theft of some other classified thermonuclear weapons information, which the Clinton administration has determined cannot be made public. They can't even say what that's about. They can't even say what they gave the Chinese. That can't even be made public. You can only imagine what the hell that is. This is an interesting quote from Senator Inhofe at the time on the Senate floor. We used to think China was decades behind us in terms of building a modern advanced nuclear arsenal. Now we learn that later this year, China is planning to test its new JL-2 long-range ICBM, a submarine-launched ballistic missile with MIRV capability, meaning multiple independently targeted warheads on each missile. Also a replica of our Trident ICBM, the United States Trident ICBM. This missile will have a range of over 13,000 kilometers and could reach anywhere in the United States from protected Chinese waters. In addition, we know that China has been helping North Korea, among others, with weapons and technology. North Korea is also expected to test its long-range Tapodong 2 missile later this year. That's it. Cats out of the bag right on the Senate floor. On the congressional record, folks. Clearly documenting how Clinton sold the United States out to China, giving them satellite missile technology. And they provided it to North Korea. And don't fucking think for a minute that that shit didn't end up in Iran. A schematic of the Clintons' treachery and treason. Moreover, I didn't pour myself any water for this. I usually have a glass of water. Moreover, we see the protection racket in place with the independent counsel, the FBI, the DOJ. Rubber stamped this, did nothing. And that's why you have a patriot like Inhofe blow the whistle in public to try to get these people to use it as a stick. Use it as a wedge, a stick to get these guys to do something. They did nothing. Folks, that is Mueller. That is Free. That is Comey. This happened all when McCabe was coming up in the FBI. You don't think they all know about this? If my simple Irish ass and German ass and Polish ass knows about this, you can fucking guarantee you they not only know about it, they've collected hordes of documents on it so that if they ever are indicted, they'll blow the whole fucking whistle on this, these people. This is a joke. Our government is a fucking joke. It's become a joke. It's been a joke. Selling nukes to the Chinese. And now they've graduated to biological weapons. Dealing with the Chinese, collaborating with the Chinese to cook up weapons they use against us. Look at what's going on at Harvard. And who's going to benefit from this corona stuff? Gates, the Clintons. Now they're on the medical side. They figured out, we don't have access to this military nuclear technology anymore. And we can make money another way with our same friends that we made when I was in the White House selling out the country to China. with a license from the FBI, with a license from the Justice Department. They licensed this criminal cartel. This is a fucking criminal cartel. Do you understand? The licensees, the folks who granted the license, are the same people that liars in the media are telling you are going to jail. How is that going to happen? How are you going to put somebody in jail who has the keys to all this and has all the evidence that shows you that they sold out the United States to the Chinese and nobody went to jail? This is, people talk about treason all the time. Oh, is this guy's going to be prosecuted for treason for spying on Trump? That's fucking treason. That's treehouse fucking treason. That's bullshit compared to what this stuff is. We need to go back into history, folks, like we just did. Once I rise above the noise and confusion, just to get a glimpse beyond the illusion. Masquerading as a man with a reason. My charade is the event of the season. And if I claim to be a wise man, it surely means that I don't know. We appreciate your support on patreon.com/truepundit and on subscribestar.com/truepundit. We do a lot of different things, including the video podcast of Pain in the Morning. Carry on, my wayward son, for there'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
You cry.